the band ever offered a deal with credible indie labels of the day, like Touch and Go, SST, Alternative Tentacles? Was it with the big boys that you first experienced major labels? And if so, what did you learn from that?
No, in all honesty, we really never were offered a major label. We were on Moment Productions here in Austin, and then right at the last, we started trying to, you know, think about Alternative Tentacles and stuff like that, but never did really get anything happened. And that last record we did got released, some record company in L.A. I never can remember the name because they fucked us and lost Tim's artwork and we never made any money from them. They picked up the rights to, no matter how long the line is in the cafeteria, there's always a seat. They picked up the rights to that and put it out a little bit, but I don't guess it sold very much, and we never did see any royalties from them, nor the fact of Tim getting his artwork back when they reprinted all the stuff. I feel like a fool that I can't sit here and tell you the name. I'd have to go get
Enigma?
I believe it was Enigma, yes.
Because I think that was the second guy, the Moment put it out, and then Enigma put it out.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, right, it was those guys. Sorry, I couldn't remember. But they totally screwed us, basically. And, of course, you don't have any money to get a lawyer to call them and do anything about, hey, what did you sell? Do you have any royalties that we should have? And the saddest part about it is they lost Tim's artwork, you know, and over all these years, that has stuck in my craw about the fact that they treated him so wrongly, because, you know, you don't do that to artists. That's very important, what he did. And he took enough time to paint that cover that it was cool, you know. And they looked at it as obviously some kind of a throwaway or whatever they did. But that was really the only time, in serious honesty, that we were really approached by anything major at that time. I feel like, you know, we were then probably a half a year or more or less of getting something majorly happening and also maybe going to Europe. You know, and I know that those were strong plans because we had had offers, and we had been flown to L.A. by Golden Voice Productions and opened for Suicidal Tendencies out there, and they paid, like, you know, I guess five people's airline flights out there and back, picked us up in a van. You know, we stayed with friends, but they catered us around, you know, and took us back to the airport and did all that stuff. So, and had an hors d'oeuvre platter backstage. So that's really, in all honesty, the nearest to an upper level of beyond what was, know, the do-it-yourself thing. And of course, X asking us to open for them at the Whiskey A Go-Go in L.A. for those two shows. That was very, very important of, you know, a rung on my ladder of my life to get to do that with those people, because, I mean, they could have asked a million different bands in L.A. because they were so good, you know. But they asked us, and we did really well. So I'm very honored by that and still hold that in my heart as a the last thing that X-Scene and them did for us.
We're almost done, so. Do you still keep in touch with the people from the 80s punkers days, the old 80s punkers days? What are the other big boys doing? Why did the big boys split up? And give us a rundown on your post-big boys musical activities.
Well, big boys broke up just due to infighting. Just disagreements and situations, and like all families and like all siblings, you sometimes reach a point you just have to go your own way. There's a lot of things that happen that really doesn't even need to be discussed because it's personal matters. I'm sad by the fact we didn't continue on. I'm glad by the fact we didn't continue on, both of those sides of the coin. I was having a wonderful time, and I was having a horrible time, but I can't, you know, I just have to leave it at that and not go into detail, and that's a better situation to not just, you know. Since then, right immediately after the big boys, I was out of a, we broke up in November of 84, which made us be a band for 5 years to the month. 2 months later, I was rehearsing immediately again with Cargo Cult, a band that had Dwayne Dennison from Jesus Lizard was the guitarist in that band, and that guy played circles around every punk rock guitarist in Austin, as you well know by listening to anything that Jesus Lizard did. That guy was fantastic. So I stepped into a musical organization that kicked me right in the ass. Masterful drummer that played every beat like a metronome. you'd go, play cha-cha beat, he would go, okay, cha-cha, here we go, no, play 7:19 jazz time, no, done for it. The guy was a miracle drummer, and just a meek-looking little, tiny little guy that worked at a bank, but was a monster on drums, and the bass player was a fretless bass player that had played in jazz, and he was so good, so good. So I stepped into an organization that was different in that the spirit was more subdued than what the wild raucousness of the big boy skating craziness, to step into a situation where it was more musically inclined. And man, those guys kicked me in the ass. I sang better than I've ever sang in my life in Cargo Cult. I recorded a record in Cargo Cult that I think stands above anything the big boys ever recorded. And that's a whole lot to say, because I cherished a lot of what the big boys recorded. But probably my favorite record is Strange Men Bearing Gifts by Cargo Cult. And that came out in about 86 to early 87 at the latest from Touch and Go. And I really enjoyed that. And, you know, we stayed a band together till about 89. And that just, people moved out of the state and sort of, you know, doomed the continuance of that band. And Dwayne immediately hooked up with David Yao and David Sims, and they got going, and they all moved off to Chicago to start Jesus Lizard. And I hurt my back real bad, so I was out of any functionability for about a year and a half, and met a bunch of wonderful people that we formed the band Swine King, and went from there. The first year I sang with them, I had to actually sit in a chair and on a stool to sing, because of the incredible back problems that I had, that was almost back surgery vibes. But we got really good, and those people are phenomenal. What a group of idiot savants, shall I say. People are just so meekly demure. You put a guitar in their hand and they turn into fucking Eddie Van Halen or something. They're so good, and I'm just happy as a lark to be around those people. And we've been, you know, around and with each other for near 5 years. And, you know, never have put out much recording, but we've played a tremendous amount of shows. We don't push it. Everybody has wonderful jobs. 4 of the 6 people are paying for houses, you know, that we're living our lives. So it's a bit of subduedness in far as going on tour and all that madness. But, man, a wonderful group of people, Swine King, that were just fixing to release that CD called Gargantuan Fantasy Mall. That's 8 recorded songs and 8 live songs. And I think going to be really good, and that's coming from Echo Disaster Music here in Austin, out of an Austin label.
And they're getting ready to do a Big Boys Dicks tribute, right?
Yes, that
are
is
you guys
correct.
Going to do a song for that?
I doubt it. I personally don't want to be on a tribute that's a tribute to me. I know Tim Kerr is going to be, but I don't feel comfortable with that. If it's a tribute to a band that I was in, I don't want to be on the record.
Right.
I want other people to tribute me, not me tribute myself.
Right.
So I will opt out, and the rest of the band, all the other people in the band play in, you know, half of them play in Punkaroo, half of them play in another band that's called Trouser Trout, Boy Trouble Band, is another spinoff band of Swine King. So there's various groups and situations that they can do unbelievable kick-ass versions of anything without me, and very well do it exactly correct and be happy. So I stand outside that one. And I'm doing good. You know, right now I've got a tremendous amount of stuff that I've written. I've worked with a friend of mine who's an ambient music weirdist that is a tape loop person and does all this stuff. And we're in the process of starting a spoken word tape that I've wanted to do for years. And I've written all this really crazy stuff.